Hi, how are you?
Everything okay? Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Is the Coors Light in here? Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you so much.
In the words of baby Billy Freeman, straight from the mountains of Colorado, that Coors Light. Hey, it's Amino Hassan. I'm sitting in for Rachel Nichols, hosting The Jump. I'm joined by two of my favorites today. The one, the only, Dave McMenamin, our ESPN Lakers insider. And over in Texas, my road dog, my co-host on Hoop Streams with Cassidy Hubbard, Kendrick Perkins. What's going on, guys? We doing good? All right.
Hey.
Coming up, we're going to take a look at Nikola Jokic. Is he going to join the team in Orlando? When should concerns rise around his absence? But first, we start in Orlando, as all 22 teams will be in the resort by the end of today. And the accommodations have, let's just say, bothered a few players. Grizzlies guard Tyus Jones found a roach in his room. Oh, nah, indeed. Nuggets guard Troy Daniels showed a collection of small snacks on a tray. And Nets guard Chris Chiozza, I love saying that name, his noodles and chicken even brought comparisons on social media to Firefest. Now, after the 48 hours of quarantine, the food options are expected to open up for teams. Perk, when you see what the Lakers are what the players are posting, what concerns do you have about all this?
You know what? I'm glad you're showing all the negative things that's happening in the bubble. Because right before I came on this show, I just watched Patrick Beverly post the bubble is what you make of it. And he's making himself right at home. He said, check ball. So he's making the best of it. Listen, we know it's a process. And I'm pretty sure the Players Association is going to be in communication with the NBA to make things better. Listen, this is only day two or day three of the bubble. It's just getting started. It's going to get better. Facts.
Dave, is this much ado about nothing?
Yeah, I mean, I've talked to a couple agents who have been preparing their players to go down there. And it's all about putting yourself in a mental space to be able to perform for 3 months, no matter what the elements that come your way. And if we're going to already be shocked and awed by whatever the meals look for 2 days, good luck to how it's going to go for you for the next 2+ months. I think this is something that all the guys can recognize. The NBA is trying to do the best job here. They got to stay in their rooms because of the health concerns. And the meals are going to get a lot better in a couple days.
Yeah, yesterday on Hoop Streams, me, Cassidy, and Kendrick talked about this. But my one question is, what are the prepackaged meals supposed to do as we're looking at Joel Embiid show up in full regalia there, mask, hazmat suit, everything. But the prepackaged meals are only for the first 48 hours of quarantine. I'm still not clear as to how that is supposed to protect anybody, especially when you know that the food service providers aren't quarantined. They may be getting tested, but they're not getting quarantined. So what is a prepackaged meal supposed to do? I'm not quite sure. Anyways, moving on. Kawhi Leonard did not travel with the Clippers to Orlando Wednesday as he tends to a family matter, sources told our Om Young Masuk, a development first reported by Yahoo Sports. Kawhi plans to miss only a few days and expects to join the team soon. Hopefully everything over there is all right. And additionally, I should have mentioned this, USA Today's Jeff Zilget reported 6 restaurants will provide delivery options for the bubble. Drew Hoop's Henry Abbott followed up with a tweet that coincidentally, all but one of the restaurants providing delivery are owned by Rockets owner Tillman Fertitta. All right, so the Nuggets are in Orlando. They don't have Nikola Jokic. It's still working on getting Orlando after being cleared of COVID-19. New Nuggets GM Calvin Booth says he's not worried, saying, quote, I don't think we're concerned at all. I think he's excited by joining the bubble, being with his teammates, and I think everybody realizes the opportunity we have. It is just a matter of getting him in the bubble safely and making sure he's healthy. Dave, should the Nuggets be more concerned that Jokic isn't in Orlando yet?
I mean, here's the thing. When we got NBA schedule and we saw that they're going to be playing these games in late July when they were coming to the decision to play them in early June. We're like, what's the delay? Well, the delay is that Murphy's Law. What can go wrong will go wrong. And the fact now that we have this extra time baked into the schedule is a wonderful thing for things that pop up, like Kawhi Leonard having a family issue, like Nikola Jokic still being in Serbia. I don't think there's any concern at this point because we're talking about it's July 8th, July 9th. If we get to July 28th, July 29th, he's still over there, then there's some concern. But I think this was prescient by the NBA schedule makers to build in this time to allow for unforeseen events.
Perk, are you concerned at all about Jokic's unavailability to start this?
No, not at all. Listen, the only thing that we all been concerned about when it comes down to Jokic is him being in shape. Guess what he did over the pandemic? He lost a whole nother person. He looks great, almost mistaking him for Porzingis. So if I'm the Nuggets, I'm not concerned at all. I'm just waiting on them to arrive. Because guess what? He's the heart and soul of that Nuggets team. He's their best scorer. He's their best passer. He's their best rebounder. He's everything to the Nuggets. And he's in great shape. I'm just waiting on his arrival. That's all it is, like on the Rocket movie. I'm just waiting on him. I'm just waiting on the big fella. I'm ready to see what he go do. He looks great.
Yeah, that workout was straight out of Rocky IV right there with the lifting tires. All we needed was snowbanks and maybe some wood cutting there, and we'd be a little bit more in the Rocky IV mood. But I got to be honest, the one thing I'm concerned about with every player that's tested positive for COVID who's come into the bubble, I just want to make sure that when they're clear, they're healthy, there are no long-lasting health effects there, because we don't quite know what this disease does long-term to internal organs, to things like stamina, to respiratory issues moving forward. So that's the one thing I would keep an eye on with Jokic. Does he look winded? Does he look tired? Or can he get right back into the flow of things like all of his peers, at least at that level? All right, so coming up, Jamal Crawford. You guys demanded it. You guys wanted it. You wished it. You willed it. He's on his way back to the NBA, and we'll look back at some of the best plays in his career. But first, we continue our countdown to the best plays of the season. Here's number 22 and 21.
Zadaransky. They won't go away. Good God.
Kidding me?
The improbable.
So concerned about running over Big CP that he really lost control of the ball.
Alex, the hook pass. Good hands by LeBron. Look at this feed to Howard. Another great Showtime feed from James to Dwight.
There are times when you wonder, does he really have an eye in the back of his head? He sees things way before they happen.
The Jump is brought to you by Burger King. $1 mini shakes are now at Burger King.
Oh, tomorrow, starting at 2 Eastern on ESPN, it's the basketball tournament. Brotherly Love faces the Golden Eagles. That's followed by another game at 4 Eastern, and they're all vying for a chance at that $1 million prize. Let me hold a dollar. It's been over a year since Jamal Crawford last played in an NBA game, despite the fact that he dropped 51 points that night. That's going to change as the Nets have agreed to sign him as a replacement player in the bubble, league sources told our Malika Andrews. This, of course, inspired us to cook up his top plays. Take a look.
Crawford at distance.
Wes Matthews, I would turn right to the referee and say, did he not carry that ball? Was that not illegal?
I hope. I wish. 47-38.
Utah to 40% shooting for the game. Crawford another one. He's got the bench jumping up there. He brought him Price in the spin cycle and hit the triple right over him. Timeout, Utah, 19,174. Like in the Jamal Crawford show. Nearly threw it away. And the Reeves will bring it up.
Crawford out of control. Oh, Crawford does it again. A pass to himself off the backboard.
Crawford's got it. Fires a long one. Oh, he made it! Oh, can you believe it? Capped up by Cephalosha, just wouldn't quite fall. Now here's Crawford the other way.
Great goal.
Wow. Terrific game for Crawford.
And they take the lead.
He's got 15 points.
That was a big time move by Crawford.
Woo!
You don't get too many wows.
No.
Man, you know, the most important highlight, impressive highlight that we didn't show is that he can name every coach he's played for in order. That's amazing when you think about how many coaches he's played for. Perk, that highlight reel was incredible, but at age 40, yes. Can he really make a difference for the Nets?
Yes. Listen, I was wondering what took so damn long for somebody to sign this man. Just like you said, it was 365 days ago. Where he gave these people a 50-piece wing dinner with the Phoenix Suns. I don't know, yes, he's 40 years old, but one thing about Jamal Crawford, you could drop him anywhere in America and he's gonna get buckets. That's what he do. He's a walking bucket. Reminds me of that old school that used to go to the park. They used to come to the park and have that 40 in his hand with his cigarette in his mouth, and he used to put his 40 by the goal and come out and give us that work. And we used to be like, how can he do it? Some people naturally just could play the game of basketball. And Jamal Crawford is one of them. He's just a walking bucket, and I'm pretty sure he's going to make the best of this opportunity. And I'm rooting for him, I mean.
Yeah, fellas, we know about the ball handling skills, the outside shooting that he has. But the biggest thing for me is that he's been a mentor to so many guys throughout this league over the last decade and a half. To me, this is an example of treat the game well, it'll treat you well. He gave back for so long, and now this opportunity pops up, and guess what? He's back in the league because, you know, he's not bringing politics to the game. He's bringing a love and a passion for the game, and he's been spreading that love and passion throughout NBA locker rooms for years. And the fact that the Brooklyn Nets saw him not only as someone who can get them some buckets because they're going to be severely depleted down in Orlando, but someone who brings that presence about him, that love for the game, and certainly will be a positive force added to the guys that they do have healthy.
All right, and it bears noting that the Nets are apparently on the verge of signing Michael Beasley as well, that according to The Athletic. So we'll keep in touch with the Nets and try and figure out how they put together a ragtag group. All right, let's move on to the big man in the middle in Philadelphia, Joel Embiid. He's not just complaining about other people getting sick. He's also talking about his role in the Sixers offense. This is what he said. Take a listen.
I know what I'm capable of. And I know what my teammates think of me. I know I'm capable of carrying the team. And so it's all about me being assertive. If I feel like I'm not getting the ball, I just gotta, talk to them and, do what I have to do. Just gotta take matters into my own hands.
Perk, you were hot on this yesterday. You wanted to talk about it. Here's your platform. What did you make of what Embiid said?
Well, listen, what's known don't need to be explained. We all know that Joel Embiid is a generational talent, and we all know that the offense needs to go through him. But this is a conversation that needs to be held behind closed doors. The world don't need to know this. You know, Tobias Harris have come out publicly and said that they have been dealing with chemistry issues. This is something that you deal with internal. We are the focal point of that offense, but at the same time, they have other pieces around him. Ben Simmons, he could get going on the low block and then drive into the paint. Tobias Harris, who has been playing exceptional basketball this year, averaging just under 20 points and shooting around 47%. You got Al Horford in the All-Star, who was a former All-Star, who could also put the ball in the basket, and the kid Richardson. So my thing is, what if the offense, what if it's not your night, Joel? What if it's somebody else's night? Then you're going to have to find another way to be assertive and affect the game in other areas. And my thing is that here it is. This is a conversation that needs to be held with Brett Brown. This is not nothing publicly. We all already know this. The ball is going to go through you first. But what can you do outside of that? And keep that in-house, brother. Keep that in-house.
Well, I can just speak to the Joel Embiid I saw last year in the postseason. I covered the Sixers' run through the first two rounds, and they were four bounces on the rim away from being in overtime at a Game 7 with a chance to play in the conference finals. He was as dominant as any player in the Brooklyn series. He was as dominant as any player in the Toronto series. That includes Kawhi Leonard. The problem with him then was his body wasn't right. And so if he's used these 4 months to get his body right and he's taking care of his house, perhaps this is where this extra gusto is coming from, that he's like, I've really put my place in a place, I put myself in a place to give my very best effort, and I want the team to support that. But again, I agree with Perk here. The inner workings of chemistry in a locker room, especially for a team that has had those issues pop up time and time again these last several years, it seems to be he's throwing some gasoline on the fire, which is, you know, kind of unnecessary in this situation.
I'm a big fan of reading between the lines, and I'll just say this real quickly. Earlier this season, when they asked Embiid was the problem with the play calling, he said, no, the play calling is fine. To me, that's a hint that my teammates aren't doing a good enough job of executing and getting me the ball. So that's something to keep an eye on as we follow the Sixers down in Orlando. All right, coming up, see what we got. Given the Lakers' age and experience, is there added urgency for them to win it all in Orlando? We'll discuss. But first, here's today's distant replay from this date in 2010. Summer League, I miss you so much.
Anything crazy happen, let him break a sweat and go have a seat, young fellow.
Oh, nice crossover by Paul George, and he fires up hard.
That was very nice. I think he's awake now.
This is athlete against athlete, and George wins.
Once again, using his body.
The Jump is brought to you by Popeye's Chicken Sandwich.
Coming up next, it's Jalen and Jacoby, highly questionable, around the horn, and Max on boxing. SportsCenter's at 6, Top Rank Boxing is at 8, and we'll cap the day with another SportsCenter at 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific. Five-star prospect McCore Maker has committed to Howard University, becoming the highest-ranked player to commit to an HBCU since ESPN started keeping track in 2007. Fittingly, today is South Sudan's Independence Day. Shout out to all my brothers and sisters from South Sudan. Perk, what impact does Maker's decision have on college recruiting?
I love it. Listen, he is a trendsetter. I love what you're doing, young fella. You started a trend, much needed for the HBCU. And I applaud you, and I'm giving you your flowers, young fella. Great job.
Alvin Gentry is in Orlando, and both Rockets coach Mike D'Antoni and Spurs coach Greg Popovich plan to travel to the bubble today. While head coaches can be mask-free during practices and games, D'Antoni said he won't be without a face covering. Dave, what do you think is going to be the adjustment that mask-wearing coaches are going to have to make in-game?
They probably had to just remind themselves of the rules they have in place for the bubble. There's just human error that comes up, and they'll find them scratching their face. Oh, you can't do that. So you got to remind themselves.
You know, the good news is you don't have to yell so loud because there's no fans in there. All right, and finally, after Avery Bradley opted out of the NBA restart, the Lakers signed J.R. Smith for the rest of the season. With JR on the roster, the Lakers now have 7 players with at least 10 years experience. And entering the hiatus, they were the third oldest team in the league, Dave, is there added urgency for them to win a title this year right now in Orlando?
Absolutely. LeBron James has pushed the idea of how long a prime can be, but he's 35 years old in year 17. A great Renaissance season, but you don't know how long he can keep it up. J.R. Smith, Rajon Rondo, Jared Dudley, Danny Green, go on down this roster. It's an old team, and they're all looking at it like this could be our last best chance to win a championship in our careers.
Yeah, they old, but listen, they got a lot of championship experience and a lot of guys that got chips on their shoulder. We talking about a guy in LeBron James who in year 17 is playing some of his best basketball. We talking about a guy in Anthony Davis who's finally 100% healthy and is ready, and who's also ready to play basketball. The best duo in basketball right now are those two guys, and I got full confidence in them. And with Howard deciding to come back raises the bar even more, because he was playing exceptional for them, and I think he got it on his mind. He's been to the finals before. Him and Anthony Davis together are the best defensive front line in the league, in my opinion. And now they added J.R. Smith, and I could just imagine with J.R. and Danny Green on the court together, the spacing and how wide open that lane is going to be for LeBron and Anthony Davis going down to the attacking the basket. So I'm excited to see this Laker team.
Yeah, I think, you know, no matter how superhuman LeBron feels, you're talking about a guy who's in the 17th year in the league. You know, every day is a gift, and you got to take advantage of it. You can't take it for granted. You can't just assume you'll be fine next year. But, you know, we'll see how it goes. So, anyways, you know, by the way, real quick, I want to give a shout-out to Tori Miller, becoming the first female GM in the history of the G League in Atlanta. So shout-out to her. Shout-out to the Atlanta Hawks partnership there. And thank you for letting me host, guys. Take it easy.